I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about some things all through the week. And last week, we spoke of spiritual health and mentioned a number of things. We mentioned the idea of a fire and how that it takes oxygen and heat and fuel, or you don't have fire. It takes all three, and you can regulate the fire by how much oxygen or heat, by how much oxygen or fuel that you give it. And so it can be quite regulated by those things and how much it has available. And we also mentioned about the wagon wheels on the old wagons that went out west and that they use along the eastern seaboard, I guess you'd call it, of the United States. And they carried heavy loads, these wagons did, sometimes up to 3,000 pounds. And they call them Conestoga wagons. They had big wheels on them. Probably most of us here have seen that in a museum somewhere. But the wheels were quite large, and maybe bigger than that even. And they had spokes, maybe 12, 14 spokes in them. And we were thinking last week about the idea of how those spokes carry weight. Without the spokes in the wheel, it's just like a fire. It's only partly there. You could have two spokes in the wheel, and as long as it was upright, it might be okay. But as soon as you started trying to do anything, go anywhere, it would collapse on you. And so there had to be more than two spokes. And they found out that you can put 14 spokes in there, and it really carries the weight, and it supports the whole thing. And I'm thinking about our spiritual experience with the Lord this morning, and that there are many things that support our spiritual experience, but there are some things that are more critical even than others. And all of God's commandments are critical, but there's things the Lord has given us that support our Christian experience. And I wrote again on the board this week, spiritual health. I really believe God loves for His people to be in spiritual health. And it's so much better, isn't it? Yes. It really is. It's so much better. Last week we did look at Matthew, the 25th chapter. All through there, the first part deals with keeping the oil, keeping clean, the five foolish virgins, the five wise virgins that kept their... They all kept themselves clean, but some of them kept the oil in their vessel, and they kept in touch with God, and they kept the Lord burning in their life. And then there was the on through down in the middle of the chapter, maybe 14 or so, somewhere along in there, we find the talents and how that each one is given, and it makes it very plain. Each one is given some kind of gift, some kind of responsibility that we have. It's critical to our well-being that those spokes be in there. I think many times we think after we get saved, I need to go home, I need to read and pray, I need to keep up with this thing. Folks, there's a lot of spokes. There's several spokes in the wheel. There's a lot of things inside each one of those things. But I think this morning about the value of that, and then the kindnesses that we show other people is another spoke in the wheel. And that's the last part of Matthew 25. And we find Jesus telling them that the end of the time is going to be like a shepherd that's dividing the sheep from the goats. And that's part of it. That's part of our life. But it's not just part of the judgment, folks. It is part of our spiritual health. It is part of what our experience is able to ride upon and bear weight with, to have these things in place. We must pray. We must read. We must We must do the will of God and take His talents and do with them. Those are musts if we want to be in spiritual health. But we've also got to be kind to people, generous with people, and visit people and things like that. We need to push ourselves a little bit. And I think we might find a little more coming back to us. Those are things the Bible clearly teaches over and over. And so this morning I want to talk about one that to me is one of the most blessed parts of living for the Lord. It's a responsibility, but it's more of a joy than a responsibility. Yes. Now, Nehemiah told the people, he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, this morning, that's a spoke in our wheel, the joy of the Lord, the love of the brethren, the place that we take in the body and the enjoyment that we receive from one another, the support we have from one another, the strength that we draw from one another. Folks, I want to tell you, of all the joys that I have in life, and I thank God of many joys in the Lord and things He has allowed us to have, but I'll tell you what ranks almost to the top for me, and that is the joy of the brethren. And this morning, I want to encourage us to, let's take a look at this thing. Because these spokes in the wheel, tightened up and made right, make us able to support heavy loads. They make us able to carry things. They make us able to be dependable. They make us able to have an enjoyable experience with the Lord and in life. And so let's ask the Lord to help us to get the spokes in our life and in our wheel this morning. In Romans 12 and 5, it says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. I want us to think this morning first. Folks, listen to this. We are all one body. And there isn't anybody that is the body or that sticks out above all the other. We all are one body. And we all have a very important place in the body. And if we are saved, we're part of the body. And if we're part of the body, we have the privileges of being part of the body. Did you know that this morning? I want us to take a look at this picture and take a look at the whole thing. Because, folks, to me, What we're thinking about today, I was excited about this. I want to share with you. I believe this is some of the deep joys that keep us from straying. Some of the things that'll help us put our feet down and keep them solid is when we find the joys that God puts into His walk, into our walk with Him. And one of those joys, folks, is that we are in the body. Verse 5 of chapter 12, Romans. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. And it goes on a whole list of things. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time with that list right now. But this morning, I want us to recognize the security, the joy, the enjoyment in our life that the body can bring to us. We are part of the body. If we are saved, I want to ask you this morning, are you saved? Okay, if we are saved, folks, we are part of the body. And we share in the joys and we share in the benefits of the whole body. Did we know that? Do you know that there is a lot of benefits to that? I think about Paul the Apostle. He was on the road to Rome. Now, Paul was a man just like us. And I have to believe that maybe he had a few misgivings. What's going to happen when I get to Rome? I know God's going to take care of me. But am I going to get beaten every day? Am I going to get, what's going to happen to me? Are they going to, I guess, you know, what am I looking forward to? Paul had apprehensions like we do. One place he wrote and said, without were fightings, within were fears. Paul was dealing with those things. He didn't let those regulate his life, but he had to deal with the same emotions that we do sometimes. And God had to give him grace for that. And so here he had been on the road for months. He had been in a ship for a long time, and they were being cast about on the ocean or in the sea there, and a great storm. And here they were. They come up on this little island of Melita. And then on top of all these days not eating, I suppose he fasted along with all the rest of them. They said they'd been 14 days. He said, here, take a little something to eat. You know, it's for your health's sake. Well, then their boat cracked apart. Then there they were in the water. And he gets up on the land, and no more than gets up there, and a viper comes out, a snake comes out and bites him on the hand. This was a poisonous snake. The people of the island said, you know, they looked on him, and when he didn't die, they just couldn't believe it. There's some, what is this? Is this guy God? What is, at first they was like, you know, here he had somehow got escaped the sea, but he didn't escape this. Justice brought him to this. But you know, the Lord had his hand on Paul. And he went on. But I will tell you, I believe that he felt the tossings of that ship, just like all the others did. And I think that he felt the pain of all the tossings with nothing to eat for many days. I think he felt it just like the others did. And so we see Paul wearied by this. And they stayed on the island there, Melita, for a while until it says they were refreshed, I believe it says. And so in Acts, the 28th chapter, I want to read a little bit about that story, 28 and 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, now they got a ship and they went back. I'm sorry, just a minute here. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And then they started on their journey to Rome, overland. You know, I know Paul was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. I know he was no stranger to trouble. But folks, we're not strangers to trouble either sometimes. But trouble always has to present itself, and we have to pray and get grace for it, don't we? Why do we always have to, Lord, help us again? We need help here again. It's because we're people, and Paul was people. When Jesus came to the cross, full of grace and glory, he had to go pray for grace, didn't he? And he had to pray several times, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Folks, people go through things. But I'll tell you what, Paul, God sent him some special blessing on his road. Listen to what happened here in the 15th verse. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. You know, this morning, Appii Forum was about 52 miles from Rome. Quite a ways for people to go in those days to meet someone. But the brethren knew he was coming. They went to refresh him, and they went to encourage him, and they did. It says when he saw them, he took courage. Now, 52 miles for them was quite a ways, but I'll tell you what, for him it was the last leg to get to Rome. It was probably not very far for him. He was thinking, 52 miles, I'm going to be there. What lies there, I don't fully know. But you know, Clark says, a long way to come on purpose to meet the apostle. The Appii Forum or market of Appius was a town on the Appian Way. a road paved from Rome to Campania by the consul Appius Claudius. It was near the sea and was a famous resort for sailors. The Three Taverns was about 33 miles from Rome. You know, this morning, I just want to bring that out to say, folks, we have one another. I want to encourage us this morning that no matter what comes in our sphere, in our life, in our day, I want to tell you, God placed us there for one another. He didn't only place us there to help each other. He placed us there to be helped. He placed us there to thank God and take courage. You know, these people brought to him, I'm sure they brought good things to eat. They probably, it was a nice time. That's the way brethren are this morning. I have found these kind of things along my way, and I'm sure many of you have too. Folks, it's so refreshing, is it not, this morning? I want to look over at 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. And we find there David and Jonathan. As we're reading these different stories, let's keep in mind, folks, it takes something to be brethren. You know, it takes something to have a home that you love being in. You know, it takes some giving and taking, doesn't it? It takes some forgiving, doesn't it? It takes some forgetting, doesn't it? Sure it does. I want to tell you, if we want to have this kind of thing between us, we can. We can. If we want to be close, we can be close. If we want to be. Now here in the 18th chapter in the first verse, and I recognize everybody's different and different people will have their closest friends. Jesus had his closest friends. But yet he was with all of them, wasn't he? And we see when he went places, special places, Peter was always there, John was there, what was it, James? And we find them supporting him. We find, I think he needed that. And I think he wanted them to see those things. But listen to this story of David and Jonathan. Folks, we can have a capacity to love. Sometimes it has to be developed. It takes something from us. It costs something to have close relationships. I want to encourage us this morning, folks, I see you as a treasure chest to me. I just do. I hope you see the same thing. When I see your faces, folks, I don't see enemies. I don't see heartaches and troubles. I see those that we love one another. I see those that if I get in trouble, I think they're coming to my aid. I think they're going to care about me. If I get in big trouble and do foolish things, I think they're going to pray for me. You know what? It's nice to have that in your stash, isn't it? It's nice to have it, and we can have it. But folks, it takes some things, and it costs something to have close relationships. These are the kind of things that build spokes in our wheel that support our experience so that we can carry heavy loads. Folks, when you have this kind of joy with one another, you can carry a load, can't you? You can carry the song Angela, Sister Angela wrote, "He's my brother, he's not heavy, he's my brother. Maybe he's messing up, maybe he's got some problems, but he's my brother. And I'm going to carry him, and I'm going to help him." Folks, we want to help one another, don't we? Oh, I love this story of of David and Jonathan, because I see here a man, David, that had a great capacity to love. And I see Jonathan, the same kind of capacity. These men affected. They're in history, aren't they? They're in our sphere. And it came to pass, verse 8, chapter 18 and 1 of 1 Samuel. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. Have you ever had your soul knit with the soul of another person? You know what knit means, don't you? It's kind of closely interwoven, isn't it? His heart was knit with the soul of David. Now, Jonathan saw something here he respected. David, I know he had just killed Goliath, and he had come back and brought his head along and talked to Jonathan's father. But I want to tell you, they formed an alliance and a closeness that never quit. And we see it supporting David all through, until Jonathan died, we see it supporting David's walk. We see it saving David's life. We see it, I'm sure that it helped David to keep on track. He might have, we see a few times in David's life where he started to get off track. Well, you know what? I really believe this relationship was a real key in David's life. Different times when Saul wanted to kill David, you know who stood between him and death? Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan, do you think, I think your father's wanting to kill me. Well, I don't think so. But I'll go see. You hide out here. I'll be back. You know what? He came back and he told him, you better go. You better run for your life because my dad means business. He's trying to kill you. Do you know this morning we protect one another, don't we? Jonathan risked a lot to do that. But he had a relationship with David that made it a no-brainer. I'm going to do this. I know my dad's mad at me. I know he railed on me. I know he wishes he could just change me, but I'm not. And it says, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. We'll drop down to keep from reading too much. Verse 3, then Jonathan and David made a covenant. Somebody said something about a covenant this morning. Because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Do you know that there was a giving here? Folks, when we love one another, I want to tell you what's going to come out. It's going to be a giving. That's what it's going to be. That's what love does. It gives. Selfishness takes. Love gives. Let's don't be afraid to give to one another. Jonathan just gave him everything he had. Everything he had on him, he gave him. His sword, his bow, his clothes. He gave him everything. David, I want you to have these. We made a covenant. You know what, this morning, I feel that way toward the saints. Folks, I love you guys. I love you all. And I hope the Lord expands every one of our hearts that we love each other. David had a capacity for close relationships. In 2 Samuel 23 and 14, David endured a lot of things at times. And one time he was in a hold, it says. We'll read that. 23 and 14. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. Why was David in a hold? Why was he? A hold means a fortress. He was in something. You know why he was there? Because Saul was chasing him for his life again. And it says here, and David longed. David had longings. We all do, don't we? And he said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Now, I want to tell you what. It says, the three mighty men, in verse 16, break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. Do you know this morning, I don't know what the relationship there was. But I'm telling you, for three men to risk their lives so somebody can have a drink out of a certain well is a little unusual, isn't it? It's a little unusual. Do you know what, folks? Let's increase our capacity to love. Let's figure it out. Let's ask God to intertwine our lives with the lives of others. Folks, these things are done on purpose. They're things that we do with one another on purpose. Many times we keep from doing it. We have excuses for doing it. Maybe it's our personality. Maybe it's our... But folks, many times it's our holding back. It can be our own selfishness. It can be, yes, our personality. I felt that way at times long years ago myself, that I could just withdraw and be to myself. You know what, folks? It is a blessing to have the joys and to have the spokes in our wheels of real relationships with one another. We're coming into days that we don't know what's coming, folks. We may need each other. In fact, I think we will. And I want to encourage us to let those relationships develop. They come from giving. Now, we sometimes think, well, if people would, you know, yeah, okay, come on, be nice. No, let's stretch out and learn how to build relationships. Somehow David had a capacity for it, didn't he? He was a man that had respect. He lived respectable. We have to live respectable if we really want people to respect us. You know, this morning, we love one another whether we're respectable or not. But I tell you what, if you want a real friend, let's be a real friend. Let's be respectable. Let's have love. Let's stretch out. Let's intertwine our lives with one another on purpose. Not because it just happens every time. I don't know how David built this kind of relationship with these guys, but I'll tell you what, he did, and they've risked their lives for him. And folks, I think there's people here that would risk their lives for one another this morning. I believe there was a connection and a bond that was built in David and those men when they did that. That's what love does. That's what that kind of love does. It builds bonds. How could it not? Well, at first it may not. At first we may feel like, well, what are they doing? They're trying to buy something? They're trying to make me like them? Folks, let's just show love. Well, let's just let love come out of our life on every hand. Sometimes it's not accepted. Let's keep letting it come out, because I believe it brings something to pass. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, and 9 and 10, and as I said, I'll just admit to you, I was excited about this. I don't know how well it's all coming out, but I want to tell you something. I love this thing because I found it to be so. I found it to be, and I don't boast in this, but folks, I have a whole bunch of people that I feel really close to. I cherish that. And I have a whole bunch of people I want to feel closer to. And I cherish that. I want that. I want the Lord to help me know how to do that. I want to find a way to do that if it be possible. Those things many times take two people. In a home, it takes two. You can't be close to your wife and her close to you if one of you is holding out. But you can have bliss on earth if you both give. Folks, it can be that way. And the church is no different this morning. I believe that with all my heart, and I've experienced it in my life. It's one of the great things in my life. It's one of the things that holds me. I love the saints. I love the congregation. I love your responses, your loves. I thank you for those things. Folks, I do not take it lightly in any way when there's love given to us from the saints. I appreciate that. In Galatians 6 and 9 and 10, listen to what it says. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Let's don't get tired of it. Let's don't get too tired to be doing well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We'll reap if we faint not, folks. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now here the apostle tells us a little something. He uses the word especially. Especially unto those who are of the household of faith. Do you know, folks, we want to do good to everybody in the world that we can. But I want to tell you what the Lord wants us to do. He wants it to start in our home. He wants it to spread to our people and of course, to our families. And He wants it to go out from there. And when it does that, it gets more enriched as it goes. That's the way love is. It is more enriching as it goes. So thank the Lord this morning for what we have here, the treasure trove that we have in one another. Thank you, Lord, for your people. The song says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Folks, I think we can dig deeper on this. I know we have many friendships here, and we love to see that. But let's bind them tight. Let's bind them. Let's let the Lord pull us together. In Philippians 1 and 3, Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That word fellowship, it means partnership. It means participation or social intercourse or pecuniary benefaction. You know, that word indicates something. And Paul said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Every time I think of you, I thank God. And he went on to say in drop on down to Philippians 4 and 10. And he says here, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Paul was in prison, as I remember here, I believe. And we find him here, the Philippians, becoming a partner with him in his affliction. You want to make close bonds with somebody? Go through some tough things with them. Be there for them when they're at their down, when they're at their worst. I want to tell you, there's something that goes both ways at those times. And bonds form that cannot be broken easily. Folks, let's be there for one another. Paul said, oh, I just rejoice every time I think about you all. It cost them something, didn't it? They took care of Paul when he was down, and it cost them something. Good relationships are so healthy, and they're so beneficial, and they're full of giving. We know that. And I want to say this. Folks, don't think Satan doesn't work as hard as he can to destroy or limit this tremendous blessing. I have known people that were very gifted people. I believe sometimes they operated at maybe 30% capacity. Maybe the effectiveness they could have had in their life was greatly limited, maybe by their relationship in the home and with one another. Because usually it follows through to both. Do you know this morning, Satan's going to work real hard to limit this, because this is one of the main spokes in your wheel. This is one of the main spokes. It's right in there with prayer, with seeking the Lord, because it's important just like that is. And if we leave this out, we're going to have a spoke missing. And we're going to have a thump, possibly, after a while. We go around, we're going to be thumping instead of rolling. Instead of carrying a heavy load, we're going to be wishing we could carry a heavy load. The Lord wants it to be that way. All this morning, make friends of God's children. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. You know, there's a care and a comforting that happens, isn't there? As we've said already. Sometimes friendships, and I want to just say a few things about friendships. Sometimes they're made instantly, like Jonathan and David. But folks, most of the time, real friendships are made through real grueling. It comes through work. It comes through giving. It comes through giving up some things that we have. It takes giving on all the parties. You can't have a good marriage if only one is doing the giving. But I'll tell you what, love gives. And you can have a good marriage. I say that because I believe the Word of God. I believe the Lord commanded us to love our wives and for her to respect us and all the, and the love to be like there because we could. I think that's why He said that. So this morning, let's remember that. It takes a lot of forbearance, forgiveness. It takes thankfulness. Did you know if we remember all the time something somebody did to us the other day, we'll never have a good relationship. But there are millions that live in that way. It is not uncommon. It is very common. And folks, it don't have to be that way, does it? Doesn't have to be that way in our home. Begin to thank the Lord for what we have. Begin to thank the Lord for what we have, and what we don't have will become smaller. And what we don't have will become better too. Almost always. It takes a little work, doesn't it, this morning? It takes trust from one another. That I believe in you. I think you really do love me. I think you really care about me. I think you're really going to be there for me. And I'm going to be there for you. Oh, this morning, it's an awesome part of life. To me, it ranks up there with my relationship with the Lord. I love those things, folks. I love the relationships we have. Let it be so. Lord, bind us together. Teach us how to put this spoke in our wheel. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to be more unselfish. Because, folks, selfishness, Brother Stanley wrote one time, he said, selfishness is the root of all marriage problems. That's what he said. I've got it. I've got the writing if you want to see it. Selfishness is the root of all marriage problems. Well, I'll tell you what. He's not far off, is he? Well, it's the root of many problems today. Do you know this morning, friends require some things. They require fences. Did you know that? We're not just open to one another with no fences at all. And I want to give you a couple of for instances, one or two. In Proverbs 6 and 1, it says, "My son, if thou be surety for thy friend," if you co-sign for him, "if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." I want to tell you, a friend is someone that can say, that can give all the love in the world. And a friend can also say no. Did you know that? And if we want to be a friend, we have to hear no sometimes. Maybe it's not in our best interest. Now, I know there's extreme situations where those kind of things have to happen, or there's times. But folks, we better be careful about these things. I loaned a fellow money one time. And this man isn't even alive anymore. I loaned him money. And I said to my wife, if he comes back to me, because I knew his track record, if he comes back to me and says, "I can't pay you right now, but I'm going to pay you later," I'm going to tell him right there, it's paid. I don't want you to worry about it from now on. This is it. Because I knew what would happen to our friendship. Not because of me, but he wouldn't want to see me. And all of a sudden, he wouldn't be there anymore. And I wanted to minister to him. Folks, friendships take things. They require from us some things. And I want to encourage us to be strong enough to be a true friend. The scripture says something about being smitten. Let a righteous man smite me. It'll be a kindness unto me, I believe. Something like that. Yeah, let the righteous smite me. You know what, folks? We have to give and take. We have to be willing to be smitten a little bit. Maybe somebody says, hey, you got something on your face. Well, that's not too bad, is it? But when they say you got something in your attitude, that's rough, isn't it? Oh, you know what? If we want to be a friend, folks, let's be friends. Let's be friends. Like I say over and over, it's the greatest joys of life. You want to carry a load? Then have some friends along. And I want to tell you something. It'll be a lot easier. It'll be a whole lot easier with that. Another limit that we have. This is in Proverbs 22 and 24. And it says, make no friendship with an angry man. That's what the Bible says, not me. Don't make friendship with an angry man. With a furious man, thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Now, we all know that Jesus went to eat with sinners, and we want to reach out to people like that, don't we? But I want to tell you, your bosom buddies, those that you really, really hang with, better be careful about that. That's limits. That's limits. Now, we're not trying to be ugly to anybody, but folks, we don't want a snare to our soul either. And so we're careful about our friendships this morning. Proverbs 18 and 24 says, a man that hath friends must shew himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Do you know this morning, if you want friends, you're going to have to show yourself friendly. We're going to have to overcome those hurdles and be friendly. We're going to have to let people be friendly to us, and we're going to have to be friendly to them. It's one of those battles that we must overcome, because this spoke in our wheel is so important. We must not let it drop out. We must not let it dry up and drop out. Keep some oil on it so it doesn't dry up, or water, or whatever it takes. Keep that thing and let it be. Folks, these are things that are precious and lovely. And when we think of things we love the most, it can be one of them. It can be for all of us. I believe that. Because I want to tell you something. The saints love people that hurt them. They come back, they love them again. Are they foolish? What's the deal? No, they're like the Lord. They come back, they love them again. I remember talking about showing yourself friendly. I remember a brother, Brother Bob Salee. I'll just tell you who it was. I admired that man greatly. I saw something in him that I loved. I wanted to pattern after that. I wanted to be like that. I wanted to be unselfish as his life was. And I wasn't that way when I first started out. And, you know, I had to learn a lot of things. But it seemed like there for a while I was just struggling to, you know, I don't know if he really likes me. I don't know if he, you know what, folks? I decided in my mind, I'm going to win his friendship. And I don't think it took much to do that, because I think he already, I don't think he didn't like me anyway, really. But you know, when he passed, I didn't realize the closeness that we really had. Because he was one of my closest friends. And I thank the Lord for those kind of things. Folks, relationships are like fabric. They're like fabric. Fabric is made intentionally. Do you know that cotton fabric, you ever seen a mile-long strand of cotton? Not so, is it? It's made up of little tiny strands. It's made up of little pieces, and they're twisted together, and they're tightly wound together, and they make a thread out of it. And however they do all that, it's amazing. I've watched it done. It's really an amazing process. It's fascinating to me. Our relationships are like that, folks. We have to be willing and on purpose get in that process of being wound with one another. Take responsibilities together. Have the joys together. Spend some time together. You know what? Some have asked me, hey, why don't you go with us over here? I want to tell you something this morning. Why don't you go? We're going camping or what? You know what that means to me, folks? That draws something around my heart, because most of the time I can't do it. I've always got something else I got to do. But folks, you know what that does? That desire, that want to, it builds bonds, don't it? Let's build bonds. Oh, this morning, congregation, I know that we have many good relationships here, and I appreciate it so much. But let's build them together. We might be on different social planes, or I'll say how much we make. That's okay. Let's learn to be friends. Folks, we need each other's support real bad, don't we? All this morning, let's let the Lord twist us together until we're part of that string. But it don't stop there, because that's not a fabric. That's a little old string. It can be broke pretty easy. I'll tell you what can't. Take your shirt and try to just break that. That's a whole bunch of those threads crisscrossed and woven together. And it can bear weight. They make seats out of it. You can sit on it and put a whole bunch of weight on it. And each strand, not able to bear the weight in itself, together, it can bear it. Oh, this morning, we don't know what we're going to be bearing in the next days, weeks, months, and years. But I'll tell you what, I believe the Lord wants us to bear it together. The Lord help us to intertwine. I'm almost done. Intertwine with the people of God. Do things, say things, invite people, take invitations. Stretch a little bit. Stretch a little bit. Instead of just saying no, stretch a little. And then stretch a little more later. That's the way it works. It don't all happen at once. Folks, generally, and you find this, look it up. It's true. People with close relationships, they heal faster and better. They live longer and happier. They have better immune systems and better health than those that don't have close relationships. I've been told, and I also looked this up, but I've been told that when people have operations and things like that, I've read this, in fact. Do you know the rate of healing and all that is so much greater when they have those close relationships around them? When they have prayer, when they have faith in God, and they're looking to the Lord. Oh, listen. There's a lot of reasons why we hold back. Maybe in our past. Maybe it was when we were little. Things happened to us. Maybe we were betrayed. Folks, that's what the Lord came to heal. He came to bring us things that will weave us into the fabric. And believe me, it is an enjoyable trip. I want to read one more scripture. 1 Peter 1 and 22. Maybe in the past you've looked at this as a command. I want you to look at it as a privilege from here. 1 Peter 1 and 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned. That means it's not hypocritical. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Let's go for it, folks. Is that all right? Let's go for that. Let's build deeper relationships. It takes a lot of forgiveness sometimes. It takes a lot of forbearance. Why do they do that? I don't know why they do, but I think they mean well, and I'm going to keep supporting and loving them. Can we all do that today? it'll strengthen them. It'll strengthen us. People that come into our congregation, sit down. I want to tell you, love is contagious. And people that feel it are shocked by it, because we're in a world that's not full of that today. But we're the light of the world. Lord, let us be lights. Teach us how. Let us enjoy these things to the full.